Rebecca singing Aaron Neville and Linda Ron. Was that Linda Ronstadt?
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember that?
I don't know.
Oh, I reference that song and Aaron Neville on a regular basis. I'm surprised you haven't heard me do it yet.
I thought I was lubricated going into this podcast. Okay,
we're always like this. I am Ross. Joining me is my co-host Ian, and together, while Ian is wearing a hat, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry, and we are joined by Matt and Matt of Wayfarers Ale Society. It's still Wayfarers Ale. It's Wayfarers Ale Society.
We're just calling Wayfarers Ale these days.
I noticed it kind of slipped off every now and then. So of Wayfarers Ale, we'll go with that. And of course, the these days thing is Matt and
Wayfarers
Matt.
Wayfarers is just fine.
The two of you are new to the Wayfarers Ale. We were talking about it. It was just, December-ish January, where, and for those of you playing the home game, Matt is the manager, and Matt...
Co-general manager.
Co-general manager, and Matt, not to be confused with Matt, is the head brewer. See? Now you know everybody. Clear as mud.
Yeah.
Clear as mud, absolutely. But the reason, because we've talked to a brewer from Wayfarers a couple of years ago, and you know, love the beers, but this conversation came about because I was in Wayfarers during Burger Wars in April, I think. Oh man, that feels like a long time ago. Tried the burger.
The whole month, yeah.
Very delicious. And I got to talking, and I think it wasn't Lisa. It was one of the new co-owners, I think. It came up to me and said, "Oh yeah, we're making some changes. There's some new brewers coming in. We've got some new managers." And, "Oh, okay, that's really cool." And she mentioned, "And we're thinking of tweaking the recipes a little bit." And I said, "Do tell." You know, new recipes, new tastes, new things. So we're hopefully all about new tonight, I think. Is that, how accurate is that? Am I talking too much?
Very accurate.
Okay. Yeah. we're trying things that are hopefully that little bit any tiny change in it. So this isn't the same trying of the Wayfarers ales from 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whenever that was. This is new ones, and we're unlike normal. Ian and I were just trying to, we'll gab forever. We're on a time crunch, so we absolutely need to get to this because Matt and Matt are at the Wayfarers Ale pub at the moment, and they're hosting a watch party of the Canada versus
Venezuela. Oh, come on, you got this.
Venezuela?
Oh.
I thought that was on at 10 o'clock.
That was the one they won.
Argentina.
Oh, okay.
Just a little guy named Messi.
Oh, that was 10 o'clock.
Versus a speedy local named Schaffelberg.
Oh, my God. He's going up against Messi.
The Maritime Messi.
Wow. Okay. Because I was really excited about that. Sometimes these things get kind of kismet, where I say, "Hey, we're talking to the Port Williams pub, and they're hosting an event right now where the Port William, like the local boy, the Port Williams boy, the soccer star, he's off trying to qualify for the World Cup. Is it?
Are we talking about the thing right now?
Yeah.
They're just
no. Allow me. Gentlemen, please.
You've got the right accent. You explain away. Go for it. Let's hear it.
It's a big tournament. Or is it?
Well, no, I was going to say, first off, can you actually hear me? Am I fading in and out? Because I'm going to space again this time. I'm not on my Wi-Fi. So is it okay? Are you hearing me properly without me breaking up?
Well, if you let me shut up every now and then yes, we can hear you fine.
Too early in the podcast to take a dive, Ian.
It's got you there.
Please tell me, Ross, that you've heard of the Copa America.
Nope.
No. Doesn't matter. I know you're not a sports ball fan. No, very much so. I think we've been through this a number of times.
So many.
You do wear some jerseys occasionally.
I would
suggest that you are sporty, but
ironic,
you're really not.
Poor team swag is what I go with. Yes.
Canada. The national team is in the semi-final of Copa America, which is the continental countries soccer championship. This is not a small thing. Brazil, by the way, are out. And they went out two nights ago.
Whatever it was.
Yeah, to Colombia on penalties it was actually, but there we go. They lost that, and I know that Canada lost the opening game to Argentina, which would be expected, but they come through the group stage, and then they had a little knockout. I came through on penalties, and blow me, if your local guy himself didn't go and score the opener in the quarterfinals to I know that went to penalties as well. Did you see, by the way, that the moment we all thought, oh my God, he's broken his ankle, surely. There was a horrible challenge where his studs got stuck in the turf and it looked really nasty, a knee or an ankle injury or something. But he got up like the trooper he is and carried on, whereas a lot of individuals, when they break a nail, go down like they've just been shot by a sniper off the terraces. And this guy got on and carried on and led that team to the glory. And they're up against Argentina again, one step away from the final of the Copa America. It's crazy.
You're so surprised.
He just kept running. And I feel like maybe he played hockey once or twice.
I was about to say that, but I don't know any of that.
Maybe he had an advantage over those other footy players that he could get up and keep going. No big deal.
A Canadian coach, even a soccer coach, walk it off. Yeah, exactly. A Canadian coach would tell him to walk it off when he was younger anyway.
Yeah, run off your broken ankle and dislocated kneecap. Get up, you big Jesse.
In other news, we're here to drink beer. So I haven't put these in any real order whatsoever. Usually we drink from the lowest alcohol percentage up to the highest alcohol percentage. So did you pick up the Bruce's? Oh, yeah, Matt's already got the Bruce's open. So
I did.
Bruce's Valley Lager, 5.0%. I feel like I don't know that we tried this the last time that we were here, but on the side of the can it says, who knew? The rivers of the Annapolis Valley empty into the Midas Basin, home of the world's highest tides. Under the basin surface lurks another superlative Great Whites. Bruce's buddies have been coming to the valley every summer for years to enjoy its bounties. In this can is another of the valley's greats, clean, crisp, and refreshing. Bruce's Valley Lager is now available. Okay, outside the valley. Fine. Well, we could talk about Great White Sharks as well, but I would like to hear from Matt what he thinks about the Bruce's Valley Lager while we pour this into a glass.
Yeah, it's this is one of, I guess, Lisa's first changes when you guys got here. And I love it. It's a good crushable lager. It's a good fishing beer, I like to call it. You know, it's I think people are kind of starting to reach for those light lagers. And yeah, I think this is a great offering from us.
I was at a craft beer sort of, oh yeah, the event. Matt, you were there as well, down in Halifax for the Science of Beer. And I noticed that awful lot of light IPAs or session IPAs, these 4.2, 4.1, but it's still an IPA and it's still got that, hey, remember craft beer flavored. Happy that we can get some nice, I appreciate that you said a 5.0 was crushable. Ian gives me a tough time on that one as well, but hey, that's what we're here for.
Mm. The sun can be crushable.
Mm-hmm. a quick little history lesson. I forgot about that part because Matt is co-general managing with Lisa, who was in fact the brewer for a short period of time before Matt came in. So she was sort of like almost an interim recipe. What's the word? Oh, when you're liaison.
I'll let you go.
I don't know. Yeah. I make stuff up and then you tell me if I'm right or not. It's a guessing game.
That's all good. Lisa and I jumped in, kind of slight emergency situation, and they needed someone stat 10 cc's of beer, please, to come in and make some beer. So that's what Lisa does. So she's co-GM with me. We are partners in the job and partners in life. By far my better half. Just a quick plug there. She'll never listen to this. But yeah,
next time I talk to her, I will say that you were giving her compliments. I'll definitely make sure that she gets wind of the report.
She's very good at making beer. I'm very biased. But yeah, she's the one who, we didn't know what this beer tastes like before. We never had it before. We just got to the province last year and I don't think it was available at that time. So she just said, well, I'm going to make a good lager that's 5% and we'll see how it goes. Bye. Yeah. That is like the very exciting story of the birth of Bruce's Valley Lager 2.0.
So it is pretty much brand new. It is a little cloudy, but I love that. I don't know if it's just me or if it's just the temperature. The temperatures of these, I did not freeze, you know, super freeze them in the cold or anything like that. We are fans of the somewhere between ice cold and room temperature, that little wavery, the flavor.
I did a schoolboy error, Ross, unfortunately. Lagers and actually stouts too. I like to serve them a little cooler than room temperature. A little cooler, not crazily. But seeing as the room temperature at the moment is about 150, it's not good to have this at room temperature. So, but I didn't put them in the fridge early enough. It suddenly occurred to me while I was eating supper about half an hour ago. I thought, I better put those in. I should have put them in the freezer for a few seconds, to be honest, because they're not as cold as I would like them to be.
Give them a good blast with a fire extinguisher. That's fine. Just knock some sense
in. We saw you wiping your brow there, Ian, and I don't know if I would want to drink a beer at the temperature of whatever's on your forehead. So
it's a wet napkin, Matt, that's hanging onto one of those freezer bags that you get to cool things out. So it is nice, but it's not going to last all that long. Yep.
Put the freezer bag under your hat.
Well, Rebecca put it down my T-shirt just now, the bottom of it, and I knew about it. And immediately, now I'm quite happy with where it is. I've got a couple of questions about this can, which immediately springs to mind. I don't want to steal your thunder, Ross, if you're already wondering the same thing. But is there any relevance?
Should we address the haziness?
Ah, well, you could probably hide a great white in the haze in that. Is there any relevance to the recent sightings in the Bay of Fundy, or you just like sharks? What's the gen there?
For the design on the can?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that the cans were here before we both came on, so kind of an old stock can. I do know that Bruce is the name of the animatronic shark from Jaws. So I'm assuming that it has some.
I think there's also a great white named Bruce that would frequent the Bay of Fundy. I think Lisa looked this up actually.
Really? Yeah.
But I believe, like, we could be making things up. We don't know. We can talk about the history of the brewery, but we don't know the history of the brewery very well.
Like, we make it up as we go along. That's how
this is new, and we are new. Like, we're very much new. We didn't take a course on Wayfarers 2014 to 2022 or anything. So we'll do our best.
They've got one up honestly, at King's Tech. Like, I mean, honestly, it's on the criteria.
The cans were here and we wanted to fill them with good beer.
Yeah.
Like it's almost that simple.
Is it meant to be this hazy though?
Would have liked it to be a little bit cleared up, a little more cleared up.
I think batch 2 will be clear.
Yeah, batch 2 is, yeah.
But I suppose mine is, Ross.
A lot of people drink hazy beers now, but I suppose if you say a lager, someone would expect, you often expect a pretty clear.
For sure.
But you want a crispy boy, right, Matt?
Yeah, crispy boy.
Yeah.
Something like
that. Yeah, you want to be able to read through that thing, but, you know.
Well, at least for the first two beers. And then,
yeah.
I think it smells
amazing. This is my first bit into the lager by Wayfarer. It's the first ever time I think I've had this. So this is new to me, big time.
I don't quite remember it, but...
You and us both.
Yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm glad it's crushable, but I was thirsty enough to crush anything, so...
That's a very good gulp, Ian, so, like, you're... I'm not going to assume where your accent's from. So what temperature do you like your lagers at?
A little colder than I've got these at for the lager and a stout. In fact, I was just mentioning this the other day. Stouts. I'll mention that when we get to the stout. But lagers, all pilsners, kolsches, the lighter beers, even the wheat beers, radlers and things. I like to be a little colder, not ice cold, by any means. I like them probably at 2 or 3 degrees milder than most locals would have their beer at. This is probably about where I'd like it, to be honest. I think it's chilled down just a little bit, and I'm okay with that. Do you like your lagers colder than darker beers, guys, typically?
I like them when they come out of those taps on the bar and they're covered in ice. The cool zone taps.
Mm-hmm.
Sub-Zero, yeah.
One of the...
I was a bit wary of that.
I like a cold lager, but my favorite part of the lager, when it's still good at the end of the pint or at the end of a liter, if I'm still enjoying it, if I have a big glass of German lager and it's still good, that last sip, when it's definitely not
two, three degrees anymore. The top doesn't taste like the bottom oftentimes.
Yeah.
Because it's...
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, really? I find that happens with a lot of the large batch ones.
I think there's no argument here. Hey, maybe there is. That people typically serve their beer too cold. Typically.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's any argument that an awful lot of flavor has just disappeared because people just think it's nice and cold and it's refreshing. It gets me a bit drunk. So therefore, that's how I like my beer. And they are missing an awful lot when they drink their beer too cold. I don't think there's any argument.
I would say I'm totally jumping in, Ross. I'm just going to keep chatting because, again, a little lubricated before we got in here.
I get to drink while you talk, so please.
But my favorite beer test, I preach this all the time, it's not just a sample, like maybe you'd call it like the Pepsi challenge, you just have a sip and that's it, is the pint test. So you're not going to know if you like a beer on your first sip. And nor should you expect to. You have to give it a couple sips. And really, if you can get through the pint and you really like it by the end, you get everything of that pint as it warms up, as you just get so much more from that beer. Like when I'm nerding out on beer and I'm talking to people about like how to taste beer, like if you're curious and you're willing, give it a pint test.
part of our test where we talk of what our the entry level is, when the server comes back and sees your glass is about yay and says, oh, we have another one of those, and we all say, would you have another one of this one, and this one passes the yep, I'll have another one of that one.
The two pint test.
I know what you mean. Amount. I like the tasters, and you go in for the little, what is it, four ounce? No.
Yeah.
Glasses?
Four ounces.
And it's nice, but those are the most forgettable beers that I try when they're only in the small thing. When I have the full pint, I always remember, liking that one, or I remember really not liking that one. But sometimes we say, oh, right, we had a flight of these. And I thought, I have no idea what that tasted like. I don't even remember if I liked that one or not. And it wasn't enough it was enough to make an impression at the time, but not a lasting one.
That's an interesting point. I'd never actually thought about that, because even though you've got four or six miniatures of that beer in front of you, if it's been poured from a can, you've probably got the top quarter of the can only, unless they've shaken it up for you, in which case they've released some of the sediment in the bottom and be on their own heads. But that's interesting. I hadn't actually thought about that before. So I could try that again, that little 4 ounce sampler, the next time, and it might be a little different. Quite often, of course, we wait a little while and all those lovely sea monkeys, that sediment has settled at the bottom, all the yeast and all the unfiltered stuff. And quite often you're like, this has got better the further along I've gone. Sometimes the opposite is true, mind, and you're like, this is getting pretty skanky, what's the matter? But it's still a whole experience. It's still a whole pint rather than just a couple of sips to decide whether you like it or not. That's a good point.
Well, we also piss and moan about that an awful lot, is when you get a glass, and you've got a glass at home, and you only have a 16-ounce glass, but a big 473 can, and the whole thing doesn't go in, and you think, Ebbet, that's all the good stuff is still sitting at the bottom of the can, and I'm trying to drink this three quarters of the can in this glass, and what if that's where they hid the flavor? Because obviously we're not shaking them up before we pour them out, because every time we do that, disaster strikes. I'm getting...
One of the reasons why I don't like hazy IPAs.
Well, they're not hazy in the first bit. You can pour out half a can and it's a completely different beer.
You got to do the old barrel roll first.
I'm tasting some kind of cereally or bready kind of flavor that I often find and get in really good blondes that I like. But I'm glad that this wasn't too cold, because I'm getting a little bit of bread up close and then a little tiny bitter at the back, but just a really nice journey for something not knowing a whole lot about beer. We're definitely not big fancy beer drinkers, but When you say lager, I expect uncomplicated. I expect very simple. And I like that this has a little, okay. Yeah, I know you said it's a novella, but, some dude, some East German does get killed in my novella, even if it's not 900 pages long.
I'm funny you mentioned will that blonde, fit on the can? I was going to say, this is not a typical lager for me at all. It's not... You know, you often get that crystalness to a lager. Mm-hmm. It's often more, there's often a bit more gas in it than this. This, I was going to say, this reminds me more of a blonde or a Kolsch, actually. And we've become quite big fans of Kolsches. Now, of course, I know a lot of these beer varieties tend to, the lines are a bit grayed now. They're certainly blurred of recently. You could even say it's a little like a pale ale, but it's not like a traditional lager to me, and that's only a good thing, because lagers to me tend to taste a little bit samey, they can taste a little bit bland, and lager louts, we call them in the UK, they're young men that just go straight down and buy themselves a Carling Black Label or a Carlsberg because they think that's what a beer is. And they're a bit samey and a bit bland. This ain't bland. This is more like a blonde, like you say. It's got a more to this, Russ.
Matt,
like
when you said that you just wanted to make a good lager just to start out, where would you say your influences might be? Like, where would they be from? Atlantic craft beer, or maybe BC, or where are you coming from on this?
I guess I'm speaking for Lisa now a little bit more. We're coming from Germany more than anything else.
Okay.
Because
obviously you didn't land and say, oh, we need a lager. Quick, go to all 70 breweries in Nova Scotia and find out what everyone's lager tastes like.
No, I think it was as you do when you find yourself in this position, because that's relatable to everybody else. Yeah, you just like walk into a brewery and you get to change a few things.
Happens all the time.
You make the beer that you want to drink first, and you hope that your tastes match what other people like a little bit. Yeah. So that was very much it, like, and especially with the lager, like, we knew there was a reputation of Pauline, the blonde, with River Hog, the IPA, to the Ruby Ale, like, some big beers that have a lot of history with Wayfarers, and we knew how to be careful with how we did some things, especially with the Pauline more than anything else. But the lager was definitely an opportunity to just do what a beer that we like. I would say that this batch that we're drinking right now, because it's a little cloudy, it probably doesn't taste exactly what we would expect it to, or we wanted it to. Mm. We wanted it to be a little bit crisper. Sorry, Ian. We wanted it to be a little less flavorful for you.
Are you tipping a nod to a Pilsner, by the way? Because it's quite Pilsner-ish as well. If it's got that German, Germanic kind of feel. Yeah.
I would say Germanic. Like, there's Czech influenced. But I would say a little more German.
Yeah.
And we still, like, it's still a craft lager. It's not a yellow lager. It's not an American lager by any means.
No.
Corn is nowhere within 100 miles. That's probably not true. Of the facility, but like we want it to taste like a craft lager. So,
Matt, there's corn across the street, anyway, and I don't live that far. Story, so, right?
Yeah. We definitely still wanted some flavor. Like, it's still a craft beer.
I wish I could remember, because I know I did try, and again, I tried the Bruce's Lager in some sort of flight, or someone gave me a little sampling of it, and I remember thinking, yeah, that's quite good, but I couldn't even tell you what it tasted like before, but that was quite good. Ian, you need to finish your sip, because we got to keep going. We're a third of the way through. Oh, you got a whole... You're not saving it, are you?
I am going to save it, Ross. I know there are three completely different brews, but... I don't want to come back to it once it's sat there in this 100-degree heat. I know these boys want to rush off and watch the Canada game. Can you run me? Is it not at 10 o'clock? Or was it 9 o'clock?
It's at 9. It's at 9, Ian.
Ugh. Oh, you're really late.
Quick, drink up.
Exactly. Drink up.
Yeah.
But moving on, the next 5.0% is the Southbound Wheat Radler, weighing in at 5.0. And it does say on the bottom, beer with lemonade. And I tell everyone about this one, because we found it a couple of years ago, and I said, oh, that's neat, because I spent some time in Ontario in the late 90s. I was working in Ottawa, and we found things that were called just malt lemonades. And in fact, I looked it up online, and apparently the late 90s, early 2000s was known as the malt lemonade war amongst a couple of companies. And they made things like boomerangs and cyclones. And it was, I think they were just, it was just a malted lemonade. I did try to look up a bit more. This is the only drink that I've ever had that has come even close to that. So I found this and I loved it. I started bringing this to every single family party and reunion and that kind of thing. So when you inherited this one, what was the feeling there?
So this one, we didn't have anything to go off of other than, I think, some old Untappd reviews and, you know, didn't really have a recipe to go off of. So we just kind of went off the can and just did made a wheat ale base and just pumped it full of lemon puree.
Shall I read you the can really quick? A hugely refreshing mixture of locally brewed American wheat beer and classic lemonade. The word Radler has its origins in Germany, where a mixture of beer and fruit juice was served to refresh thirsty bicyclists, Radlers in German, on hot summer days, known in England as a shandy. This drink has understandably been a summertime hit on both sides of the channel.
I can't believe it. After all these years, just a very, very quickly, I don't want to hold you up. I lived in Germany for 3 years. I drank a ton of Radlers. And usually, they were not 5%. This is the Canadian Radler. There's no beer that's any less than sort of 4.5. But they were always Radlers. Were always mixed, of course, that way. And subsequently, their alcoholic content was significantly less. This is 5%. This is still a pretty strong beer. I just found out this. When you just said that, it was to serve thirsty cyclists. Mm. Fahrrad is to go bicycling. And a rad, I never connected the two. That's the reason why it's called a Radler. Well, blown. I was 56 years old when I found that out. That's fascinating. This is educational.
Forget
Beer is educational.
I forget if it was the drink of choice of the Tour de France or something like that. We did some research the last time we tried one of these, and my favorite dumb thing that I learned about it was when Radlers first started selling in the market in New Zealand, one company copyrighted the name Radler. So they were the only ones that could make a Radler, and it was just taken, despite the fact that it was the name of the drink. So every other brewery, every other place that was making one of these in New Zealand, they started referring to the style as a cyclist.
Wow.
Oh, I like that.
And I thought that was funny.
I wouldn't go cycling after too many of these. It's still 5%. It's not weak beer at all.
I wouldn't say it's a Radler, but again, we were gifted these cans, so why not fill it with something delicious, you know?
Ooh.
But I agree, the alcohol percentage is a little much for a Radler, but come on.
It's got that occasionally, and this happens actually quite a bit in recent months, the immediate taste... I don't know why it brings to mind butter beans. Now, you just said it's got a lemonade-y wheat beer with some lemonade with it.
That's what I'm getting.
It's got a buttery bean cigarette.
You seem to equate that with a bitterness, though. And I feel like that if the wheat ale, there's a funny flavor that I equate with a wheat ale when I get one. And it is also slightly cloudy as well.
It's hazy. Yep.
This is definitely not the recipe that I remember, because before, honestly, what it was just boozy lemonade. It was just a glass of lemon. It could have been like a Smirnoff cooler. That's what it tasted like.
Ah.
And I did not understand how they brewed it in a beer method, if in fact they did.
Hot lemon.
Oh, yeah.
Lemon.
Yeah. It was a Mike Hard lemonade in a beer stein.
You really like that Southbound, Ross. You sung its praises, and you really like that. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think you were saying to me before how much you liked that Southbound.
Twas one of the ones that I brought to people who said they don't like beer very much. So I said, try that one. It is basically a lemonade with some grain in it that you can't even tell is there. But I
like it. It doesn't taste like beer. Drink this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how you get people. And my wife likes sours. And she tries to get me to drink sours. And I drink one and I said...
Does this one taste too much like beer for you?
Not too much. This actually does what the can is saying. This tastes like a wheat beer with some lemon. As opposed to a lemonade that someone held near an actual beer one time. And they just sort of hoped that osmosis did it. Yeah, just... could you potentially influence this? Just left it over there to hopefully the peer pressure would get to him, and maybe the dark beers would teach it to smoke, you know?
It is quite different, though, Mats. Have you had any feedback recently from familiar imbibers that have tried both? Any feedback?
Yeah, I think the feedback's kind of mixed from my understanding. I don't know.
I could see people who want a not beer and they had a boozy lemonade before.
Yeah.
That was hoping that it would still be a boozy lemonade.
It is a little too bad that you had all the empty cans because what you probably would have. I know this much about business and I'm even holding very close to, but I would think that the best thing to do, which is the opposite of what, say, Hollywood and every TV show does, is if something is going really well, but something has to change, kill it with fire and just begin anew. But so I understand coming in with a whole bunch of new cans and saying, well, something's got to go in that and it's got to be a Southbound Wheat Rattler. But if pie in the sky, if their money was no object whatsoever, you could do whatever you like. Just say, you know what? The Southbound Wheat Rattler has been retired because we honestly don't have the recipe anymore. We've made this new thing and we've drawn a lion on it. So now it's the Leopards Ate My Face Rattler. I don't know. Something different.
I would try that.
But again, that's...
Leopards Ate My Face. Like, I'm trying to think of what fruit would be in that one. It's like
spots, peach, apricot, nectarine. What animal has spots but in a good way? Not bananas. You don't want a spotted banana.
You don't want a spotted banana. Oh, banana is a terrible flavor.
I think some of those IPAs could be called Lemons Ate My Face. The way those
Lemons Ate My Face.
When you drink them.
Oh, I'd like. Honestly,
like pucker back. A little bit of
if at some point this becomes known as the Lemons Ate My Face Wheat Beer, we do not need royalties. That name is free. You can go with that one. That's
we'll give you your allotted one case a year deal.
Woo.
I will be honest. I'm not loving this, Mats. That's not to say this doesn't have an audience. I'm not it for this, unfortunately. But at the end of the day, you're trying something different, and that's always to be applauded, rather than just throwing the same things and then saying, "Yeah, there you go. We're not even going to try." So in that respect, applaud. I'm not going to be buying this by the caseful, me personally. But I know. But that's of course, it's got a bit of it to me. It's got a bit of that you just mentioned, Ross. Brittany loves sours. It's got a little bit of that about it. And I can't unfortunately get on board with sours. I've tried a few. Ross has thrown a few at me and saying, try this one. And we have done quite a few here. This is wandering a little bit into the sour territory. It's strong enough because already I'm slurring my words. And it's crossing over into a little bit of that. This definitely has an audience. I'm not it. I'm still going
to
drink
it. It's strong enough to knock a cyclist off your bike lane is what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to echo you, Ian. Like, personally, me too, I'm not a sour drinker, and this definitely has that edge of sourness you can get on the side of your tongue, along with it, just like that hint of pith. I just get just enough of that, and it's fine. I actually had a pint earlier today, hence the lubrication.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it, but I didn't order a second pint. And that's cool. I know, like, not everything we do is going to be for us, and not everything we do is going to be for everybody else. And that's the beauty of craft beer, of course.
And you tweak, do you not? I mean, that's what the beauty of craft batch is, that you might throw it based on people's locals' opinions of whatever.
I'm not a brewer. I've met so many brewers. I don't know a brewer that can't help but tweak.
Every batch is a tweak.
It's sometimes a little frustrating, but I totally understand.
But yeah, everything says we like this one. Everyone loves this one. Stick with this one. And then the brewer says,
yeah.
"What if I just a little, So I remembered a word because another gulp of this and swishing it around, I'm
lemony.
I'm never a satisfied cook, so I kind of just throw things in when I'm sort of smelling and tasting. And oh, that could use this, that could use this. So sometimes a flavor will make me say, what does the rest of my mouth want right now? And what my mouth wants right now on it is a mint flake.
A mint flake?
A little mint flake. And then I thought, wait a minute. Didn't they make a beer mimosa? Wasn't that so? Didn't we have that conversation? And apparently a beer mosa is a thing.
Yeah.
It's, this beer mosa is made using your favorite wheat beer and orange juice to create the perfect drink everyone will love. So this one right here, this is your get everyone in for beer mosa Wednesdays. Beer mosa. I don't know. Wait, not Tuesdays.
It's got to be Sunday. It's got to be Hangover Sunday, beer moses.
Beer moses in a jam. That sounds fine. Jam.
Hey, yeah, next jam. There you go. Oh, toast. Yeah. Little plug there, eh? Plug.
That cough. Was that my horn? Was that my horn? Someone's tooting it.
Lemons ate my face off. That's the name of this one. It's very lemony. It's interesting. And it's very soury.
Ian's definitely done with this one. Maybe we have to move on.
What I liked about it, it did what it said on the can. Because had I tried the... I don't remember reading the can before. But the old recipe was not a wheat beer with a lemon tinge to it. So I don't know if it... Was it exactly the same can? Did you update the explanation, the description?
No.
Same can.
One tasted like. The old one was a sweet, 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 sweet lemonade.
We learned it was sweet. Oh. We'll tell you why it's not sweet.
Well, because I know what yeast does to sugar, and that's why it's a 5.0.
Exactly. Well,
when
did we add the juice?
With my grade 11 level chemistry right there that I kind of cheated
for a secondary ferment. So we fermented all the sugar out of it.
And that's what
you must have.
That's what turns it into that dry sour.
In that regard, where it's not beer and juice mixed.
It's a drier, sourer lemon flavor, and not a sweet lemon flavor, and that's why.
Yeah.
But how do you go about? I mean, brewing a little bit of homebrew myself. I'm not the levels you are, but how do you go about? I mean, if you said there were cans left over and you've tweaked recipes, not just tweaked. In this case, actually, I think. Pretty wholesale changes in this one, and you're thinking this can says 5%. Does the law say right? Everything in this has got to be 5%. What if you came in in your batch at 5.2 or 4.7? What happens then?
We have a breath to work with actually.
Yeah.
And that would be the same for Alexander Keith's as well. Excuse me. Like you actually have
a buffer.
So, yeah. I believe in most provinces. Provinces are different. Like my experience is in Alberta. It's now Nova Scotia. So I'm between two. Sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit. But
I hope you're not hosting later.
Typically, you have a 0.5% on either side. So if you say it's 5 on the label, as far as the Canadian Food Inspection Agency is concerned, if you're between 4.5 and 5.5, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
They don't give a
That's quite a buffer. Yeah. That's quite a buffer.
It's a podcast. It's a huge buffer. I think that is the case here. I mean, we're operating under that. I'm not assuming that anybody from NSLC is listening to this. So hello.
I have tried reaching out. I want them to be on here because again, I want to talk to everybody. I have no problems whatsoever, but I want to talk to everybody. And oh yeah, I probably should have asked you that when we were off air. What are your thoughts on getting your product in the NSLC? So we'll glaze over that question really quickly because I know.
Boy, let's get to another beer.
Yes, let's do that. I'm saving my I'm gonna take my Southbound Wheat Rattler upstairs because my wife did actually say I'm jealous that you're having the Southbound Wheat Rattler. So we'll see. How she feels about the new recipe later.
Oh, please report.
We do get to move on to something that certainly made me very excited. And when I was talking to the representative at Wayfarers, they said that this was one of the ones that did change a little bit of a recipe was the Muddy Big Stout Maritime Oatmeal Stout coming in at 5.7% down there. Which is for some, why do we start with the weakest to move up to the strongest? That's such a, who's running this show? I don't actually understand what's going on anymore. But
maybe if you did it alphabetically,
masochists,
I don't know, something like that. But I said, oh, okay. And they said it needed a little tweaking. And I remember this is the closest brewery pub to my house. And I went in and they had a stout and I drank it and I went, that's okay, I guess. And then I forget if it was yourself or someone else who I was in a little while later, and I said, can I try this new recipe? Oh, yeah, here's the new recipe for the stout. And I tried it, and I said, yes, this is what I was looking for years ago. And it, so on a personal level, you're there. You have one new customer. I'm happy to report on the Money Big Stout.
And I got to say before we get into this beer, because it's again a Lisa recipe.
Yeah.
And like, I don't want to like gloss over the fact that Matt's doing incredible things. And like, if we did this podcast a month from now or 2 months from now, we'd be drinking Matt's recipes. And those are worth, those are going to be worth drinking.
What are you doing in November?
I don't want to like
back and do
like,
it again. Let's do it.
Hey,
again.
We're here with Head Brewer Matt. And these aren't his beers. like Matt's.
It's all a time.
Matt's kicking ass. Like, we're all just new to this. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there.
I'd say it's a testament to both the recipe of brewers where, you know, Lisa had a go and then you bring in Matt and there's what I'm not trying to put words in anyone's mouth, but is there agreement? And that's
100%.
That tells you a whole lot about what's going on there. Is that someone came in and said, oh, let's tweak that. And then you bring, and then in the interim for your interim brew, head brewer, and then your new head brewer comes in and says, oh yeah, that needed tweaking. And that's correct. That's what has happened there. This is, oh yeah, here we go. Let's go full speed ahead. It's as though you bring someone, you bring the 4-star general in and said, you know what? You were headed in the right direction. So let me just continue on with that plunge. I don't know. Was that a compliment? Like, I was trying to make that a compliment.
What Lisa has done before I came on board is phenomenal. So
I used to be I'm a stout lover. Matt's Ross knows this. I won't say that I will look for a stout every time I go into a pub, but pretty close to it. So I do like going for the darker beers, the bitters, the darker beers, the porters, the stouts. I will kind of migrate to those every time. So when I knew that Wayfarers had this stout on, immediately I'm interested. But that was a few years ago, and I didn't love it. I don't know what was going on. It was a little watery to me. You know how a porter is a little less viscous than a stout would be. It's got, even though there's some amazing porters and amazing stouts, typically stouts are kind of thicker, they fill you. It's like a meal sometimes, especially with oatmeal stouts. But I didn't love the Maritime Oatmeal Stout, the Muddy Big Stout by Wayfarers. When Pete Adams was on, would that be a year or so ago, Ross?
Almost two.
Is it really that long? Good grief. I felt there had been some improvement in the Muddy Big. They've maybe made some changes to it. It was a slightly better brew, but it's always been lacking in something. And so that if you've taken this over, Matt, the first beer I'm going to be going in there and looking forward to, excited about trying, would be the stout. So if it's got your paw prints on it now, as opposed to previous incarnations of your job, then I'm looking forward to this one, especially because I would naturally migrate toward this beer.
You were drinking one on Sunday when I came in to the jam.
Yes.
Were you not already drinking this?
I was, but as I've just learned,
he's trying to do this for the podcast.
Okay. Wink. All right, trying this for the very first. All right, back it up.
No, I'm being honest here. Did you not just say about 2 minutes ago that it's going to be a month or two before this stuff comes through? Or is that only in can form? And you're telling me that I've already drunk it from draft at the bar?
No, it's what it is right now. If you don't like it, too bad. No, it's like this is the
The new stuff.
The new stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay.
Everything is new.
And it's also, but it's good. Been on tap.
Every recipe is new.
Yeah. There's only, actually, there's still one thing on tap that is pre all of us.
Yeah.
The APA, the citrus, like, fine. Like, people still enjoy it, but we want to make some changes there too. And we are. Matt's got a sweet recipe lined up. Really excited about that, actually. But the stout you had would be the same as this can here.
Yeah.
So please tear it apart, Ian, and let us know what we did wrong. And we'll
stout on tap since our first since our first jam in May.
May, June, July. Yeah, May. Yeah.
Yeah. We've been having the new recipe since May. I had two that first one. It's delicious. This is nectar. Okay. I love this now.
But if it is the new recipe, I'm enjoying it. If it is the same one as I was drinking recently, I don't even need to tell you that I'm enjoying it. So well, cheers.
You just, like, I think you even kept Ross hanging by like a thread there. I don't even know.
We never know where we're going. Yes, absolutely. Cheers. Get this in you because we're almost at the soccer game.
It smells like a stout now. Before, I wasn't sure whether it did or not, and it didn't taste. It didn't do it for me, unfortunately.
That is what I've wanted for years. That's getting there. It's the do you know what Ian said? It was watery before, but where it was watery, it's filled with caramel, and it's,
you know?
Sometimes we have a stout every now and then, and it's got that smoky edge on the tail end of it. This one's got a tiny little bit, but it's not too much. Sometimes, hey, smoke, and it's way too much smoke for the rest of the mix and everything. But this is the little sweet caramel right through, very thick. The oatmeal. Oh, I haven't had a good oatmeal stout like this.
We're drinking this. I don't know how warm. I'm assuming Ian's drinking this at about 25 Celsius. I'm getting actually a little more raisin and prune than I remember from this, and it's a little older, which is okay for a stout for sure. It's not like we packaged this last week. We packaged this a few months ago. A little bit of oxidation. Like, it's, I don't know. It's still holding up. It's coming along really nice.
I remember the first time I tasted it, I just took a mouthful, and I still had this weird, I wouldn't say traumatic, but some kind of, it definitely a whiplash moment where I tried it previously in years past. Went, oh, good, a stout, and it's nice and dark and it's thick and you can't see through it, and I threw it back and there was this what is this flavor, and there was a very odd, not like an unfinished
like a sharp,
yeah, a sharp. way too sharp and yet watery, and it didn't kind of, you know, there's no creaminess or a nice body to the back end. The body of this, it's filling out through the middle. Yeah. It's thickening up with all the flavor that's supposed to be there. You're getting kind of even your imagination is putting the oats in there.
It's rounded.
The use of malted oats rather than traditional flaked oats allows a much greater proportion of the grist to be oats, resulting in an exceptionally creamy and smooth brew.
It's got a roastiness to it, a slight roastiness to it as well. You know, sometimes you have, when you have the sweeter stouts, don't get me wrong, I love double chocolate stouts, I really do, but for it's a different experience altogether. And I like those, and I hate to use that word Guinness. By the way, Ross, thank you for the Guinness. I don't know if you can see.
I can.
Guinness. I love a Guinness.
This is the thing. I do still love a Guinness. They're not strong. They're at 4%, 4.2%, whatever. But to me, it's kind of like, if I'm going to judge a decent stout, who the hell are you going to judge it against if it's not the classic? This is an oatmeal stout, of course. A Guinness is not. Please try that, Rebecca. You're going to love that. I would always have Guinness. I would always have Guinness really quite cold. There is something about a cold Guinness which really works. That doesn't need to be cold.
Yeah, but your English is weird.
Rebecca, I don't want a cold Guinness.
Rebecca's just saying, she's Canadian, by the way, Max, and she's saying, I want it a little bit colder. This is the perfect temperature for the
Englishmen probably drink their lagers, their lagers warm and their stouts cold, like a bunch of weirdos. There's something totally backwards about you people.
Yeah. I know. I need my Guinness warm. I don't mind a warm lager, though, so maybe I'm a little...
No, I want it all. 12, 15 degrees, somewhere in between there. That's 12 degrees is cold for a lager, and 15 degrees is perfect for a nice stout.
Can I plug not drinking for a second?
Nope. Absolutely not.
That's February. Guinness
sobriety is right out.
Guinness Zero is pretty freaking good.
Oh, no. Don't amazing. Get him started. Don't. No, don't. Oh, no.
Ian's
going to talk about buying 0.5 beer at the grocery store for the next 7.5 minutes.
No. There's two. I mean, we know how terrible non-alcoholic beer is. It just doesn't taste like... You know what we're missing from that? For some reason, they're like, oh, I know why I like alcoholic beer now, because I can taste it. But the thing is that with Guinness Zero, whatever it's called, and weirdly, hear me out, boys, the first time I ever tried this was at Wayfarers, of all places. I was there, and I was driving, and you know what I had? Please don't hate me. A Corona Zero. I was like, what the hell? This is exactly the same as Corona. Not great it's flavor, crazy. But perfectly it tastes like the other stuff.
The words Corona like Zero have been used in a... I feel like I have to end the podcast right now. That's it. We're just... There's no more of this show. Once you hit Corona Zero, that's it. It's over. You can never come back with a straight face. Yeah, we've Corona lost all credibility whatsoever. It.
Apparently, Guinness and Corona are the best two examples I've ever tried of a non-alcoholic beer. They are both fine.
By far. I will second that on both fronts.
Thank you.
Who was the one? There was I'm trying to remember which brewery did it that they were putting out a non-alcoholic. It was not only a non-alcoholic beer, but they were trying to release a non-alcoholic beer for dogs, that it was safe for dogs to drink, because so many of the new tap rooms in Nova Scotia were dog friendly since they couldn't get a restaurant license due to all of the licensing issues and whatnot. So for a number of them that are tap room only, and you just go buy a bag of chips, and then a lot of people were bringing their dogs, and the dog lays happily under the patio table. And so someone finally said, what if we made, hey, you know what, there's a lot of dogs around here, let's make dog beer. I said, that's a brewer that made
that. I've seen
that.
I'm trying to I don't think
it was a hit by
it was not well, it's certainly not in this household.
Well, you're not.
We gave it to our dog, and the dog sort of gave it two laps and said, hey, humans, you got any of that, tap water on you? Because that's what I drink. That's what I'm into.
Ross?
Yeah.
Ross, your dog likes mice.
Go ahead, tell the story.
We delivered this beer, Matt. Yesterday, we popped into the Wayfarers on the way back from our jaunties yesterday, and I delivered three of these beers to Ross's wife Brittany, who met us at the door with her dog and their beautiful kid. And as we were saying goodbye, oh, by the way, she furnished me with this this Guinness glass, which we got from the Royal We, Ross had managed to get from the Dollarama. It's a little plug for Dollarama. They need the money. And
it was an official. It had a Guinness sticker on the bottom, the Guinness Brewing Company. And I said, what are you doing here at the dollar store? It is one of those moments where if this has ever happened to you in the dollar store, you find one. And can't find the shelf that it was at. It doesn't exist anywhere else. Buy it immediately for the $3 because it is worth way more than that somewhere else on the planet. I guarantee it.
At least $4.50.
Thank you so much. That's very kind of you. Anyway, to continue the story, we're backing out the driveway to get back onto the road again. And Brittany comes haring down the stairs off the deck and says, wait, stop. And I thought, what on earth has happened? And she said, Olive has a mouse in its mouth, and it's Ross isn't here. It's above my pay scale. Please come and remove the mouse from my dog's mouth. And we deduced that his other pet, Louis, had bitten this thing in two and left it on the yard for it. And the dog was like, I'll have some of that.
Yep.
And therefore, I held it. It's too yucky for me. While Rebecca managed to prise it out of Olive's mouth. Olive was like, and there's blood and guts everywhere. And thankfully, when she tossed it away in the green bin, the dog was looking at her as if they'd wanted to lick her face. And Rebecca was like, usually that's fine, but under the circumstances, no.
That's why you bring a zoologist to that kind of project.
That's why you bring someone that's worked in the zoo. Mm.
I'm.
I'll take care of that.
I don't know if it's the 5.7 strength, but there is a. It could just be a perceived imaginary whiskey cask, barrel aged flavor to this, but it. I'm wondering if it's just the. It can't be just the strength, because we've tasted like a 6.5 and it doesn't have that, so. Is it?
I think we just found out, Ross, if I can just talk all over you.
Go for it.
It says 5.7. It could be 5.2 or 6.3 or 6.2.
We're just going to talk about dogs eating roadkill and cats eviscerating the local wildlife.
It does taste quite strong. That has to be said.
Deliciously, in a good way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
It tastes strong, but you get the heat? Like, I don't know if I get the... Maybe there's heat.
I don't get the burn.
It's got that semblance of, like, richness and whiskey, but I don't know if it's got the heat of alcohol.
No.
Like, for me, anyway.
I get what you mean. The richness, yes. Maybe that's just part of the body. And again, that was totally missing before, but I'm...
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
It's as though it has been injected with new life. The body of this has been injected with new life.
I'm glad you warm-aged your beers in preparation for this podcast, because obviously you've got the whole breadth of what we're trying to do.
Imagine if we were here with ice-cold stout saying, this one don't taste like raisins.
It's smooth.
It's got a lot more. I don't remember last time I had this beer that there's that much raisin. This is a lot of fun.
This is what I've been looking
totally
for.
Totally makes up for that shitty Southbound Rattler.
I'm keeping it. I don't know how good this sounds. The one that I didn't like, I'm gonna go feed that to my wife. But she was jealous that we were having the Southbound, and I want to give her the new recipe, because I think she might even enjoy that a little bit more than the other one. But we'll see. And yeah, I will let you know. Ooh, the other feedback that I have to remember and give you, it was our a comment on the Facebook post from the Maritime Craft Brew Enthusiasts page was, could you make Helga year round?
That's right.
All right. there are
one single request. Take it as you will.
We had a cutout. We didn't even get into a lot of this stuff. We had to cut out a few things just to like simplify.
Oh, you.
You have so simplify
many,
operation.
So many
we're
tanks.
New.
Yeah.
We're trying to figure it out, but we don't want to ignore the people that want the things they want, and maybe it won't be the same Helga as before. But maybe
I was going to say, do you have the recipe for Helga?
We probably don't in its entirety. We could probably figure it out for the most part.
All I'm trying to say is don't be afraid to retire and rebrand. Come right out with the Velociraptor Red because we lost the recipe to the other one, or just you can call it whatever you like. And don't be afraid to retire something that you...
Oh, that's going to happen. We've dipped our toe in the water of change, and well, obviously we're pretty open to talking about it here and tonight and in the future. Like, it's not like we're an open book.
Moving forward, but, and I love the concept of moving forward, and you had things and you said, hey, that's a good idea, let's do one of those. And the Bruce's Valley Lager, said, let's make a good lager. And I said, this is not what it was before, but I really like where this is going. I love the direction that things are heading. It's as though instead of starting a new company with, hey, what are we going to do? But you've there's this little, someone left you with, how about you do these six things?
It's kind of fun, because I've had this thought experiment before, is like, sometimes your most creative when you're put in a box. If you're given the whole world to dream of whatever you want to do, you're overwhelmed with possibility. But if you are put into these limitations and then you try to get your way out of that box, like, you might come up with something way
better.
So, like,
we're kind of
embracing that as much as we can.
I suffer from horrendous indecisiveness. Someone says, go for it, carte blanche, and I'll look at the whole planet and... There's no way I could take even a step forward because I feel it would be in the wrong direction. If I have 365 degrees to choose from and I get one, well, I'm sorry, but that is a fraction I cannot deal with.
It's a 1 minute, apparently, until Canada kick off.
Oh, it's kick off. They just kick off.
Yeah. So may I mark these before I disappear and go watch the game?
Shuffleberg, that's his name.
Oh my God. Just want to hear your last thoughts. Last thoughts on the warm lager that you're about to finish.
Oh, there you go.
Well, the lager, this is it. This is it.
Yeah. You don't have to finish it, but... Mm. Okay.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I just drank the wrong one. That's the lemon wheat radler. I'm not a fan.
Keep going. Okay.
Right, that will find its niche, I'm sure.
The lemon wheat radler was not the best lager, apparently. I don't think so.
It's still full of flavor. It's a Pilsner stroke blonde ale for me. It's still a lot to be said for that, and I desire another pint.
Two things. Beer moses. We need to make beer moses sundaes a thing. With a little, just go out and buy some mint leaves. We'll make that a thing. And second, I looked up Copa Americana, and apparently Copa Americana is only for South American countries, and I have no idea what Canada's doing
there. Not until this year. Do some more research.
And that's not right. The USA, hey, we'll the USA were in it.
Do I have to scroll to the bottom of history?
I really, really like the Valley Lager.
This is the
Lager.
First year
Bruce's...
that
Canada has been in...
CONMEBOL?
Involved? Invited?
Yeah, CONCACAF, yeah.
So, okay, here's
even
the other
part. Even though Mexico and the States have competed in the past.
I have this... What's reverse elitism? Hipsterism? There it is. I have this hipsterism about the shrinking of competition in order to win a medal. Because we've got the Grammys.
Shrinking.
The Grammys, where Canadian artists win maybe one. So, we don't win too many Grammys, so we need ourselves our own, the Canadian Music Awards, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, the Junos? So the Junos, Canadians are doing great. But you know what? Not too many East Coast musicians are winning Junos. So I think we need another award ceremony specifically for East Coast musicians. Let's have some ECMAs because we're not winning those awards. And if you're not winning those awards, maybe you're just not that good. You know, it's everybody gets a trophy day.
If we're not giving our kids participation ribbons... how are they going to feel good about themselves?
They're not. And they're going to be fine. They'll be perfectly fine not winning. My daughter came sixth at her kayak regatta in Nationals. And I'm like, that's amazing. And she's happy with that. Is she first in some tiny local... Yeah, she's maybe the fastest person in her local lake. I don't know. But she went to the biggest thing that they could get to, and she came sixth. Good for you.
Especially in my pool in the backyard. Right. Yeah. First every time.
And it... We don't all...
It works the other way, Ross. It works the other way. Were you aware that Australia were in Europe?
I was not aware that Australia was in Europe.
No,
I was under the understanding it was somewhere completely different.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the Eurovision Song Contest?
I have.
Oh,
right.
What?
Yeah. Well, it was a Eurovision for the European countries to get together in the 1950s onwards to platform their crappiest songs to compete against one another. But then someone said a few years ago, why don't we have Australia in there as well, because they make some songs too. And the USA were also invited 1 year. So it works the other way. You can't just have big fish in little ponds. You need little fish in bigger ponds too. I'm going to head out. The Muddy Big Stout, gentlemen, is a world of difference from what it was before. It's a far richer, full-bodied, flavoursome, oatmealer. It's much more what I want from a stout. It's really good now. Thank you so much for improving it. I'm out of here. Good night.
Thanks for inviting us.
And we've made you 4 minutes late for your football tournament, football/soccer, whatever you're calling it out there.
There's plenty of minutes left.
Hopefully,
there's a big group outside that. We're gonna go join them.
Oh, good. The noise didn't come through, so I hope you've got a good group there for it. And go.
It sounds like it is.
I gotta look up his name again. Yeah. Go Schaffelberg. Well done, local boy. It's all Port Williams Pub, Port Williams Brewery, and Port Williams Soccer Player. It's just a whole bunch of everything.
Thanks for being on top of us to finally make this happen, yeah. Ross. And maybe we'll do it again in 6 months.
Absolutely. Yeah, we got to find out if there's any more recipes on the go, and we'll get there. But we'll definitely come out and drink.
You got to drink. We'll see you soon. But you got to drink.
Many more of these. But thank you for being here.
Yes, yes.
Have an awesome night. Thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Ross.
Yeah. Go Canada.
Canada's gonna go. Oh man, if they lose, that's gonna reflect so poorly on us.
They're winning. They're winning too bad.
You can find us online, the YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinkns dry. You can find Drink Nova Scotia Dry and all the podcasty things. And then we're on Instagram and TikTok. Oh, my God. We're all over the place. The Facebook. Not so much the Facebook page, but go check out the Maritime Craft Brew Enthusiast on Facebook if you like that sort of thing. But we're back here every week, 8 p.m. on the YouTube for livesness. That's a word. That's a thing. And hopefully next week, I might be on location like next week. We're going to be trying something a little bit different and new. But thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Good night.